We've been talking about how to go out in life and fearing less, and we've talked about how we can have courage in life's storms. We've talked about facing our fears, and we've talked about showing fear the door and how to say that it's not welcome in our life anymore. And beginning on February 15th, the reason we're starting on the 15th is because next Sunday, Stephen and Ann Sicker are going to be with us. And you know, they just had twins, and they're going to be here. That we've been supporting them and their work in Costa Rica, and they're getting ready this year to go down to southern Mexico, and they're going to come and share what God has been doing in their hearts and their lives. And I've also asked them if they wouldn't talk about just some of the personal fears in their life that they have encountered of trusting God and taking a call into the mission field and having their first son in Costa Rica and then having their two twins, the beautiful twins, and going to be taking them into a different region in an area that is they've not been before. And how do they handle those fears? And so I think you're going to learn a lot from them and hear about the blessings of our support for them. But what we're going to do beginning on the 15th is we're going to take this big theme that we've taken, and I've heard a lot of comments about how people are being helped through this series on fearless, and we're going to begin to address some of life's most common fears. Things like, what do you do when you feel rejection or failure or making a commitment to trust God or financial fears? And we're going to see that the Bible has counsel for us in those things in this additional series called Fear versus Faith. Now today, we're going to kind of close out the Fearless sermon series with how do we move from fear to faith. And the story that I have is a familiar one if you've been in the church very long, especially if you grew up in Sunday school. You heard about the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, given their Babylonian names, that were thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, as we approach this, you may be very familiar, or this may be the very first time you hear it. I want to talk to those that have heard this story over and over again, and here's one of the dangers we face. Is sometimes we can get so used to the stories we hear about from the Bible that we forget or we don't listen to what is really being said there. And I think we're going to take this at a little bit different angle than maybe you've heard before, or maybe it's just going to reinforce some things, but I think it's going to be really helpful. In fact, I've really enjoyed preparing this message because it is helping me. And this series on fear has helped me address some areas in my life where I just realized I need to move out in faith and not just being holding back and waiting in my life. And as you can see, we're down a little bit in attendance because of the snow and so forth. What I want to encourage you to do is that if you are encouraged through this message and you know someone that could hear it or whatever, you could tell them to go online and listen to the message, or better yet, you could sit with them and tell them what you got from the message and how that it is helping you and how this series is helping you. Well, in Daniel chapter 3, we have the story of three men called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Kind of the setting stage for that is the nation of Babylon had came in and conquered Judah in the southern kingdom, conquered Jerusalem, and they took some of the elite young men and took them to serve. What Babylon would do, and the Babylonian Empire would do, is they, when they conquered a nation, they would get some of their best and healthiest and those of the royal line and would bring them in, and then they would educate them in the gods of the Babylonians and in their way, and they would actually kind of employ them in the government and let them be a part. And what they were trying to do is assimilate a different nation into where they lost their identity and became part of the Chaldean or the Babylonian Empire. That's what happened to these three men. In Daniel chapter 1, you find that they resolve themselves not to defile themselves with the king meats and so forth, and God shows up. In chapter 2, you find out that the king has some dreams, and his wise men can't interpret it. And so he says, I'm going to kill all my wise men. And Daniel says, let us pray about it. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel pray, and God shows up, and God delivers them. Then in Daniel chapter 3, you have this king that evidently is trying to compensate for something in his life, because he builds this statue, and this statue is in the plain of Dura, Daniel chapter 3 tells us, and it's 90 feet high, and it's 9 feet wide. And he calls all his government officials from all of the nations and the tribes that he's conquered, and then he gets this big orchestra and band that's going, and he says, when the band plays, everyone's going to bow down before my image, and everyone and anyone that doesn't bow down is going to be thrown into the blazing furnace. So let's pick it up at verse 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of Daniel chapter 3. It says this: "So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever race or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." Quite a sight, I am sure. Everyone bowed down except three guys: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And others began to tell, and they went to the king and they told him, "There are three Hebrew kids. They serve a different God, and they didn't bow down for it. They pay no attention to you." So let's pick it up in verse 13. "Then Nebuchadnezzar," who was the king, "flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And when they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods and worship the gold statue that I have set up?'" Let's pray. Lord, in the few moments that we have here, help us to move from fear to faith. Lord, probably most of us will not encounter in our life where we're going to have to stand up in front of everyone in a platform like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. But the reality is every day, God, there are opportunities for us to stand up for you. We live in a world that worships political correctness, that worships tolerance, which in many minds means if you agree with me, it's okay, but don't ask me to agree with you. And Father, we need wisdom. We need the fear of the Lord, which instructs us, because there's sometimes when we need to speak, and there's sometimes when we need to keep our mouths shut. There's times in which we need to move out in action, and there's times in which we need to sit back and wait for your timing. And God, we need you, because we're not very good judges of that. And we want to be living by and prompted by the Holy Spirit in our life. And teach us, Lord. Instruct us from your word how to live this life you've called us to, of utter dependence upon you, of being controlled by a faith in a loving, compassionate God, and not controlled by our fears. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to do today is I want to continue kind of with the theme of the day, with this musical band and orchestra that Nebuchadnezzar had. And I want to talk to you today about fear's favorite song. Because fear has a song that it wants to sing over and over and over again in your life. Because there's a way in which that music is able to bypass the rational and get right at the core of your emotions. And one of the ways in which Satan works in our life is that if he can get our emotions going and stirred up and in a panic mode, he can begin to change the way that we think. And when we think wrongly about ourselves, God, or others, or life, then he can defraud God of the glory that is due his name. Fear has a song that it sings over and over in our life, and fear will sing our dreams to sleep if we let it. Now, fear is always going to be around, and it's going to try to get into your mind. And to illustrate this today, you notice that I have a mechanism here. For the younger generation, this is called a record player. Before the age of MP3s and iTunes and so forth, our music got put, and some in this room can kind of remember when they got their first record player. I mean, it was a big deal. I mean, we had a few radio stations in this, and you have two sides to it. It plays on both sides, and you would put it in here, you turn it on, you got a little mechanism here, and you can see where the different songs are at. This happens to be The Great Songs of Faith by Burl Ives. And I'm kind of through with this record at the end, so if someone's interested in it, you know, actually, I'm going to start auctioning it off. I've got one bid over here already, okay? You could probably talk your pastor out of this album. It looks like in really good condition. But one of the things is, not only were these big and cumbersome, sometimes there would be something that would happen to your record, and that is that you would get a scratch on it. And when you got a scratch, sometimes that scratch would make it pop to the next track or jump in the song, but a lot of times it would just start playing the same line over and over and over again. And I want to tell you that fear has a favorite song, and it plays over and over, because here's what Satan wants to do. He wants to come in and he wants to scratch your soul. And when he scratches your soul, he wants to play this song. See, most of us We don't deal with a different fear every year. Most of us deal with the same fear over and over again for a lifetime. For example, if you faced rejection as a child, chances are you will face the fear of rejection through a lifetime. If you felt like you were unloved, or certain fears, if you were had certain experiences or traumatic experience, it is not uncommon that later in life you fear that experience or that emotion. You can go back into that over and over again. And our lives in that way are like a vinyl record. And some of us have scratches that are deep and they've gone into our soul. And the fear associated with the scratch becomes an incessant chant. And it plays over and over again in our mind and in our heart. And it ultimately drowns out what God is saying to us. It's not that you don't believe God. It's that you've learned to believe the scratch over and over again. And fear's greatest hit is a song that is called What If? What If? What If? What If? And what if will never stop playing. And what if is seldom positive. Our what ifs in life generally go to the negative. And if you happen to be on a committee or in a group or in a task force, and someone has a what if that's a positive vision, generally what happens is that there is a committee that is formed called the What If Committee, and it will tell you all the negative things that can happen about why that wouldn't work. In fact, I had a little fun this week playing the what-if demon, if you will, with it. You know, and I did this with one of my staff members, and before they knew what I was doing, I said, well, what if it doesn't work, and what if it doesn't print, and what if the copier goes down, and pretty soon they're saying, I don't want to hear this stuff. Then on Friday morning, I was with a friend, and he had ordered headlights for his car, and he was excited about it because he was able to get two headlights online that were cheaper than what he could get it from the parts store. And I said, well, what if they don't work? And he goes, I don't know. And actually, that friend was Kevin Johnson, okay? All right? And I said, you know, my daughter got my son for his birthday an Oklahoma City Thunder shirt and thought she got a good price, but the O started here in the Oklahoma, and the Y ended up over here, and we're going to have to try to send that back. And sometimes you get scammed online. And what if it wasn't a secure site? Did you give him your credit card information? You know, and I just started, what if, what if, what if? And finally, here's what he did. When that happens, and when it's like that, and knows that it's unusual, he kind of backed away from me and says, get behind me, Satan, you know? And I said, that's what we ought to do. What if we'll play over and over again? By the way, he tells me, I don't know if he's driven at night, but he tells me he got both headlights in, okay? And they're good. They're a little whacked off, you know, here this way and this way, but they're both in. Fear's greatest song is a song called What If. Notice what happens here in Daniel chapter 3. I have it in your notes. Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And when they be brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made. When you hear the sound of the music, here comes the what if. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then, would you notice this? What God is able to rescue you from my power? What if your God doesn't come through? What if what you're placing your confidence in? And these what-if scenarios play over and over again in our life. Now, I have a recording of a record that is skipping and repeating the same part over and over again. It happens to be a musical part, so it's not words that go over and over again. And when you hear it, initially it just seems like they're repeating it, but it just goes on incessantly. And so I want to play that for you right now. After a while, it just starts to get wearing on you. But here's what if's here. Here's Fear's greatest song. What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? For most of you, I stopped singing the song. I stopped singing the words, but it's still playing over in your mind. You know when the what if comes in? The what if? The what if? What if? What if it doesn't work? What if you fail? What if you get offered a job? What if you don't get offered a job? What if you say that, don't say the right thing? What if you say the wrong thing? What if I'm right about so-and-so? What if I'm wrong about him? What if God doesn't come through? What if, what if, what if? And the what ifs of life throw you off balance. It begins to distort your view of God, yourself, other people, and ultimately life. By the way, if you want a copy of that, I have it on an MP3. It goes for 10 minutes, okay? You only listen to a minute of it, okay? But I'm here to help you, okay? So Fear's Greatest Hit is this song that is called What If? And here's what fear is. And I want you to help your pastor out here. Fear, I have that it's negative faith, and I believe that. But here's what it is. Put misplaced faith. It is misplaced faith. It's not that you don't have faith. It's just that you put your faith in the wrong things. And fear will shout over the top of what God is whispering into your spirit. You see, fear is a prophet spirit from hell. And it tells you that in the future, God won't keep his promise, that God will let you down. And it defrauds God of the glory and the honor that is due his name. Here's what he says. If you refuse, what God will be able to rescue you from its power? Satan wants to defraud God of the glory that is due his name. And one of the main ways he does that is he gets into our emotions, because it's through the emotions that fear gets into our mind and changes the way that we think. And then we begin to act based upon what we feel, and it's one of panic. Notice how emotions are used to try to wear down Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to not believe in God. Look at verse, first of all, 13. Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. I want to remind you, a few weeks ago, we talked about if you have anger issues, you can take it to the bank. You have fear issues. Sometimes people say, I'm just an angry person, or I was just born this way, I'm angry. Anger is a secondary emotion, and it says that there's something wrong in your life. And if there's anger that shows up in its life, there's more than likely a fear in your life that you need to identify and begin to face in your life. Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. Then verse 19, look what happened. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became red and distorted. And then he makes this command. And you know, there are studies on this. You can go find it out yourself. That when you begin to act out in anger emotionally, your IQ drops. It literally drops. They can measure it. Your IQ drops. And you do things and you say things that you wouldn't have normally done if you were in your right mind. That's why we say things like when we get angry, and then come back later and say, I didn't mean to say it that way. I didn't mean to come across that way. I can't believe I said that. I really didn't mean it, because your IQ dropped. The reason why you feel like you're a stupid is because you were acting stupid. Okay? Well, that's good preaching. Okay? Your level drops. And so here's what he does. He is so angry, he orders that the furnace be lit up 7 times hotter than what it usually is. And then he gets his strongest men to go throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in. And look what happens in verse 22. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were securely tied and fell into the roaring flames. You know, our world is fueled by fear. We live in an environment that is fear-filled. And it begins to get into, we get concerned with other people's what-ifs. And the way that I wanted to illustrate this today, did anyone notice that it's kind of cold today? The wind's kind of sharp, you know, and stuff. But back in 2013, I remember that there was this Jimmy Kimmel on late night TV talked about Los Angeles was having a cold spill. And so, and he's showing us how Californians react to what they consider cold weather. So this is Jimmy Kimmel.
Last night, the local news here in L.A., the local news in L.A. is hilarious. We really have no idea how silly we would look if people in places like Milwaukee saw how we react when the temperature drops below 55. For the past 24 hours, this is the sort of thing they've been saying on our local weather reports.
Are you ready for probably two of the coldest nights you've ever experienced in Southern California?
And look at the temperatures.
only into the 50s.
Cold, cold, cold coming our way.
Now, the 3D overview map shows very cold air coming into Southern California. That's very cold air we're talking about. Arctic cold.
Beyond cold. I took Ryder out yesterday, and I forgot his jacket, and I was like, we have to go home.
We have team coverage on this freezing cold weather.
It's about 48 degrees right now. The skies are clear. It is cold.
And absolutely freezing.
Five-day forecast shows that we do have a nice day coming up here, and then look at this. It just gets really cold in the 50s. We're talking Arctic cold coming down from the North Pole. Very cold weather.
Soccer practice tonight meant sweats, gloves, and earmuffs.
How long is this going
to
last?
It's so cold out there.
The extra blanket, the heater, the dog, anything you can do to keep warm, snuggled.
How long will this Arctic blast last?
So please, if you would, just say a little prayer for us. We're suffering here.
Actually, you can learn spiritual truths on things like this, too, because here's what I want us to see. The environment that you place yourself on a regular basis greatly impacts your perspective in life. You've got to continue to put yourself in a faith environment. Now, listen, you will not overcome your fears or face and live fearless life if this is the only time. It's good that you're here if this is the only time you worship God. You know, I thought I really appreciated our worship team today, and I appreciate them all the time. But I mean, that would be a great playlist of what we sang here today to just listen to over and over again about God is faithful, God is on our side, love came down and rescued me. Those things that just build our faith over and over again. You see, fear is what takes over. When I put more faith or more confidence, more weight, if you will, in my what ifs than who God is and what God says. Fear is misplaced faith. I also want us to see here that God is a creator God. He creates things in our life. Satan is a distorter. Again, he is defrauding. He doesn't have creative genius. He distorts that which God has already created. And so here's, you know, we've often say that God is the God of the second chance. And many of us here say, well, God, I'm God. He's a forgiving God. He's a compassionate God. God is the God of the second chance. Well, I want us to also realize that fear is, and please make that a little G, a God of second chances. What did he do? His initial warning, Nebuchadnezzar, was if you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But what did he do? He gave them a second chance. He brought them before him because here's what he knew. If these men continued to stand strong in their faith, he would risk losing others to that faith. But if he could get them to bow down and use his emotion and his further and seven times hotter, that would be a victory for him if he could get a person who said they believed in the one true God to bow down. And so fear will come back. It won't leave, and it has to be evicted. It won't leave on its own, but it will come back for a more opportune time. Last week we looked in Luke chapter 4:13 briefly about how Satan came back, left Jesus for a more opportune time. Satan wants to rob God of the glory that is due his name. You might want to write down Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Let's go on. So what do we do? If fear plays the song, what if, and they are tied to real experiences in our life that have many ways just played over in our life over and over, so much so that we can play the song on our own, even without it coming to, here's what faith does. Faith changes the lyrics of what if to even if. Notice what they do here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve, look what they believed about God, is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Verse 18, here's the even if. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and worship the gold statue that you have set up. So if we're going to move from fear to faith, when we get our what-ifs, it's not like we can just stop them from going on and on in our life. Here's what we do. We take it to the next step. We play it out to its very end. And when you do so, you learn something about God and his character that takes the initial fear and turns it into greater faith. Remember last week we saw that the gift of greater faith often comes wrapped in a package that looks like our greatest fear. You see, this wasn't their first go-round with fear in their life. They had stood up in Daniel chapter 1. They had seen God come through in Daniel chapter 2. And they believed that God would do it. But here's what they did. They acknowledged reality. But God will do this. But even if he doesn't, even if, and you throw us in that furnace, our God is going to be there for us. What they did in this area, if the what if causes us to panic, the even if causes us to acknowledge the pain and the potential of pain in our life. You know, we're told, and I don't have time to go into all of this, but only about 8% of what we worry about, we actually have control over. Most of the stuff that humanity worries about, we don't have any control over at all. A wise man once said, the biggest troubles you have got to face are those that will never come. It's an interesting phrase. The biggest troubles you have got to face are those that have never come. Worry is a dead end, even if changes it and makes it a new beginning. What if your worst fears were materialized? What if they actually happened? Go ahead and play that out in your mind. And acknowledge, that would be the hardest day of my life. That's the thing that I've asked God for not to take place in my life. And boy, that would really shake me to the core. But then we ask the question, where's God in that? Where would God be? See, a lot of people wade out into the shallow waters of the what if and what if, what if. And that's where the enemy wants to keep us. But sometimes what we need to do is we need to dive down deep. And when we dive down deep, we find that at the bottom, there is a God that is sustaining and holding us up. There is a God that is there, that even if he does not, even if this does, God is there. There's something the scripture talks about the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Paul writes that, it says in Philippians 3, he goes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Something that is throughout Scripture is that in your hardest times, God shows up and God will be faithful. And we've talked about it, and we can't use a catchphrase here, God never wastes a hurt. That's why the Scripture tells us in Philippians 4, and I have the Message paraphrase for you in here, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises, notice this, shape your worries into prayers. Don't deny your worries. Let them shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concern, and before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. In the Old Testament, there's a prophet named Habakkuk. 3 chapters is his book. He prophesied to the nation of Judah, and he begins by asking God some tough questions. He's seen the moral decline of his nation, the nation of Judah, and he goes, God, how long are you going to let this moral decline go on? And so God answers him, and what he got an answer he didn't expect. And God says, I'm going to use the Babylonian Empire, the wicked Chaldeans, to come in, and they're going to capture Jerusalem, and they're going to take them back captive. They're going to be there for 70 years, and then I'm going to bring it back. And then Habakkuk has a bigger problem with God. He goes, God, how can you use the wicked Babylonians to execute your judgment? And God explains to him, well, I'm going to take care, and judgment day is going to come for the Babylonians as well. And Habakkuk is wrestling with God's work and the way that he's doing things. I think Habakkuk would have looked at the circumstances and what God said he was going to do and said, God, I wouldn't have done it that way. But I think honestly, if we had an honest moment with God and ourselves, there's some things that have happened in your life that you said, God, I wouldn't have done it that way. But here's what Habakkuk says. See, he had to get there by going to the bottom. He says in verse 17, and by the way, notice that this is a prayer to be accompanied by string instruments. This prayer is supposed to be sung in praise to God. Sung in praise to God. Notice the even ifs. It said even though here. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines. And even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren. And even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Notice this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me sure-footed as the deer, able to tread upon the heights. He didn't get there by just singing songs of worship and praising God, working everything out in his life. He got there through pain and agony and taking his panic moments to God. Which brings us to, not only does fear have the greatest hit, and it's called what if. And we have the power and the ability and the authority through God to change the what ifs to even ifs. But faith has its greatest hit as well. And here is faith's greatest hit. Faith's greatest hit is a song called God Is. Look what happens. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted. After they threw him in the furnace, I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed. The fourth looks like God. Most scholars believe that this was the presence of Jesus Christ himself walking in the fire with them. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close to the door as he could in the flaming furnace and shouted. I just want to say one thing here. Remember the guys, the strong soldiers that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in were consumed by the flames. Here we have the king coming as close to the door as he can, which means this. Some time elapsed. We don't know how much time, but some time elapsed because the fire was beginning to die down. When we read this story, it's like it happens like in a minute. They're thrown in the fire, he sees it, and they come out. That's how we would like our fires to be. And sometimes we are in the fire longer than we wanted to be. Just acknowledge that. But some time elapsed. He comes and he calls them out. And he says, come out here. And I want you to notice how he changes verbiage. Instead of saying, what God is able, in the same level as his gods, he goes, servants of the Most High God. See, what he saw here was he saw the presence of God with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, when did God show up? It wasn't just in the fire. That's just when Nebuchadnezzar saw he showed up. Well, I would argue that God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when no one saw him. When they were standing the first time when the instruments played, God was right beside them. As we mentioned last week in the message, that sometimes it's not greater protection that we need, but it's a greater perspective. If we knew that God was with us, that God is the God who he said he was, he praises the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says he sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. When you are going through the fire, when you acknowledge the pain, I want to encourage you also to pay attention who God brings into your life. Because maybe God is letting you go through this fire, not only just to teach you, but because there is going to be God's presence with you that someone who has yet to believe in him sees in you. And it's a way in which God's grace just kind of comes up into their life. The advisors and everyone gets around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through the scratch, sniff, and smell test right here, okay? The advisors crowded around them. They saw the fire hadn't touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed. They looked them over really good. And their clothing was not scorched, and they didn't even smell like smoke. God showed up. You see, fear shows up when I put more trust in my what-ifs than God's I am's. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is able and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we believe our God is good. Our God is eternal. And life in this life is not all there is. There is a promise from God of eternal life. And throughout Scripture, and I have a whole list of Scriptures, there's many, many more. But that's all I could fit on one half sheet in your sermon notes. Say, man, I'd encourage you to go through there. God is, God is, God is. What it says about God, He's compassionate, He's kind, He's forgiving. God is with us, God is for us, all of those things. When Jesus came and when the living Word of God became flesh, He said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the door, I am the light, I am the bread come out of heaven, I am the resurrection, I am the life. We need to put more confidence in God's I am's than in our what ifs. You see, here's what fear is. Fear is reality. It is our reality without a confidence in the presence of goodness of God. Fear is trying to defraud God of His character. And so it's reality without a confidence in the presence and goodness of God. So faith is that same reality with a confidence in the presence and the goodness of God. You're saying God is good. God is able. God is with me. And throughout the Bible, we are called to live with this kind of faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For anyone that comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I have it in the message here for us. It is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe that He both exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. Where do you go in your times of panic? Listen, if you believe that God isn't good, if you believe that God is out to get you, if you believe that God is going to say, come close so I can swat you again, you're not going to run to that God. But if you believe that God is good, God is love, God is holy and just, then when we begin to have fears, we would run to Him. We would throw ourselves at His mercy and say, God, I need You. Now I want to use the record analogy one more time. Because if you grew up like I did in the church in the 1980s, there was a thing in which rock music and records kind of had something together, and they were very bad. Because what rock bands would do, is what we were told, is that they would put hidden messages on these songs. And it was through a process called backmasking. And what you would do, instead of playing the record forward, you would play it backwards. And if you played it at the right speed backwards, it would say things that gave glory to Satan. And so some churches, they had record burnings, and they made their own fiery furnace and threw the records and all that kind of stuff in here. But I got to thinking about that, and I said, what if we took Satan's greatest hit? What if? And we began to play it backwards. And so let's play it backwards. What if we didn't start with our fear? What if instead we started with faith? This is what it would look like. It would look like, first of all, we would say, God is. You see, you won't trust in a God that you don't believe in. In your day-to-day life, what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. And so what if you started in life, started your day with God is? So then when you face life's realities, you said, even if good, even if bad, even if my worst fear or even if my greatest hope happened, God still is. So I'm really not going to worry about the what ifs, because most of the what ifs in my life never come to be. God is. So let's turn the table on Satan. Let's instead look at who our God is and what He has done and what His character is, and begin to trust Him. You see, if we saw God for who He really is, we'd run to Him in times of trouble and anxiety. We would encourage one another, God is with us, because you can't get closer to God than your concept of God will allow. So go to Him and tell Him your worries and concerns. And what you'll hear back from this compassionate God is, I know what you've been through. And you'll find mercy and grace. You know, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And let Him mercifully and graciously help you. You know, one of the things in this story is that it turned out pretty good for the three Hebrews. They not only weren't singed and didn't even smell like smoke, but they got a promotion. they're spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, some quenched the flames of fire in verse 34. But then here's what it says in the same chapter talking about people of faith. It says, but others were tortured. They refused to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed. People, it tells us in the Word of God, that this world was not worthy of. They died in this life without the full promise of God in this life, but the promise, they believed in the promise yet to come. Josh read earlier about Romans 8, what can separate us? Listen, our faith doesn't say if you believe God, everything will be que sera, sera. It says quite the opposite. You're going to have a lot of tribulation. There are going to be a lot of things wrong. Sometimes you're going to be persecuted because of your faith. But in the midst of it all, God is, so we can face our even ifs and even hear the song of what if, what if, what if, and say, I believe that I have a God that is. The worship team's going to come. We've talked today about how to move from panic to acknowledging the pain to rest on God's promise. And today what we're going to do is we're going to rest in the promises of God, and we're going to sing that song again, God is able. This is the God who came to save you. This is the God who is on our side. The God who says he will never leave us. The God who is with us. The God who is for us. And let's make our own proclamation today. We're singing that song. I thought one of the things that God gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was each other. And you're here today in the family of faith. And you've got people right around you. They were asked to stand up when everyone sat down, but if you're going and facing a fear or a circumstance of life and you would like prayer today and to say, I believe that God is, and I'm going to rest upon what he's provided in me and those that he's put, I'm just going to ask that you sit down right now. Would you sit down if you're facing a challenge right now and you want to know that your family is praying for you? And if someone's sitting down next to you with those that are around them, would you just gather around them and lift them up in prayer? Let's pray right now, Father. God, the enemy wants to leave us in fear, and in such doing, misplacing our faith, believing that the worst thing's going to happen rather than that God is going to be with us. But Lord, today we want to speak with the faith of the people of God throughout the ages. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro the earth to strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And we want the faith today that is like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that says, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. But even if he does not, let it be known this day that we will not serve any other God. He is the only God that is worth our worship. Fear has tried to be our God too long. And today, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we put more confidence in his I ams than in our what ifs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.